Hello, and welcome to VN. In this episode, I'll be speaking to Phil Rowe about his last fight, technical grappling, and his bump box influence in the UFC. VN is brought to you by C4. Go to c4energy.com and enter the code 4REPTILE to receive 30% off your order. For more information, go to the link below. All right. So, first question: how did you celebrate your win? I mean, you got a knockout win in the second round. How do you celebrate that?
Honestly, I didn't really do much. My buddies were in town, so a buddy of mine is like one of the owners or higher ups at Drea's nightclub, so he got us set up with like bottles and a bunch of stuff. I just did it just because my boys are with me. I stayed there for like maybe 45 minutes and I left.
For me, I'm always exhausted after a fight. Like the whole day is so draining. I just want to go to sleep. I'm just like, no, adrenaline goes down. You're just like, oh, I just want to lay down.
Exactly. Like,
you want to be happy, but you just want to lay down.
Mentally, just the anxiety after the dump, I just like, I don't care what I do. I just honestly want to turn my phone off and just be by myself and just chill.
Yeah. Have the messages like been crazy? Have you managed to respond to all of them? Or like half?
I try to respond to the people that are like, hey, I'm from Kuwait and I saw your fight. You inspire me. Or, you know what I mean? I try to respond to those. And then as many as I can, you know, I'm not Hollywood, I ain't nobody. So I respond to as many as I can, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So during your fight and previous fights that I've seen of you, it seems like when your opponent has a strong start, it just brings out the best in you, right? It just shine after you get like sort of, I don't want to say tested, but I just mean like after your opponent starts strong, it just seems to bring out the best in you. Do you agree?
Yes. But the problem with me is at this level, that's not good. I mean, we all can fight. We're all tough, but I shouldn't have to let guys get off pause first before I go. So I'm building my comfortability. It's frustrating for me because I know how good I am and I don't ever show it, like ever, you know? So even like the last fight, and I know how much better I am. My coach knows how much better I am. Like my training partners know how much better I am than I show. But the cool part about this one for me is at least I get to critique a win, you know? But I'm way better than I showed. So I'm happy that guys on the roster get to look at that and be like, okay, he does this, he does that, he does that. Because I don't. You know, that was 40% of what I could do and how I fight. So watch that, study that, please, and you'll see a better one fulfilling it.
Do you have like a plan now as in a way to sort of get yourself into full fill of what everybody, of what the guys in the gym see, like a mental training plan? Do you think that would help you? What do you think would get you to show yourself as you see yourself?
That's the struggle. And you know, you're a fighter, so it's always easy to talk to other fighters. So you know the battle is showing up how you do in the gym, you know?
Yeah.
So a lot of guys and girls show up, rise to the occasion, but most don't. I know guys that skill sets are subpar. I know teammates of mine skill sets are terrible that fight at the highest level because they show up when they have to. But not for nothing, I've been training partners, I've been bodies, I've been sparring partners, I've been brought in on so many camps to emulate people, to spar with guys, and people know me. They can pretend like they don't, but they do. So people know what I can do, you know? So like I just got rounds in with Alex Pieta, you know, the potent, one of the baddest strikers on planet Earth.
From Sao Paulo, dude, he's amazing. He's amazing. Monster. Absolutely monster. Love him. He's amazing.
Monster.
Yeah, he's fighting soon in Glory, yeah, I think. Glory, September 4th. Yeah, they got moved over. Yeah, that's going to be sick.
Monster. Monster. So, like, the guys that, the looks that I get, it's like, it's not even close to what I'm going to see from these guys, you know? So I know what I can do because I've done it. I just got to fucking lock in, and it's hard, but I'm getting more and more comfortable. You know, this fight, I made a conscious effort during the fight to be like, in the fight, I was like, Phil, be present. You're good. Just be present. Be present. I kept telling myself that. And then it just got better and better, but I still wasn't clicking. Like the first guy that I fought, hats off to him. I hold myself 100% accountable. He won, I lost. But for him to have a win over me, it's hilarious to me. You know, like when I grabbed him and I felt his grappling level and I was like, what? I swept him like 5 times. Like I knew I was gonna submit him. Even in the striking aspect, I just fucking did nothing. I literally stood there, backed up and just let him beat me up. It was the weirdest shit ever. I don't know why I did it.
Yeah.
Like it's fucking, it's frustrating. I don't get it. I don't know what I got to do, but I'm learning every fight, and I'm hopefully the next one I'll be more mentally locked in than I was in this one, you know?
Yeah. I just, like, the thing is, for me, right, in my opinion, I think the UFC and fighting there, it's just something else that is, it's hard to train for, and it's hard to replicate in the gym. Like being there, like your legs kind of start to just feel weird and everything moves in just a different time. It's not really slower. It's not faster. It's just, you're just in this weird high, man. It's scary. Oh, it's beautiful. It's just, but it's so hard to tame. And I feel like the only time you can really, really like practice being there and in the moment is to be there is the fighting. Like you don't get another, you can't really do it in the gym because it's like, it's people, you know, it's like the stakes aren't high. You're not. Yeah. Like visualization. I've been told about that. I'm like, dude, you can visualize, but until you're in there, ain't no visualize going to equal that.
They don't get it. They don't get it.
No, like, no matter, absolutely not.
How many mock-up fights, it's not the same. You know, so luckily we do it so much that it's autopilot, but I'll lock in. One day I will. When I'm locked in there, it's going to be scary, you know, because people think like, oh man, this guy's tall, he can box, and I can. And I feel like that's one of my strong points is my boxing, but I can grapple better than 90% of people at 170. I know it. I've trained with them. I've felt them. I compete now at a high level of professional grappling. I just grappled the number 9 in the world, went 15 minutes with them, grappling again in September. I know what I can do.
Oh, you are.
Do.
That's
it's
sick.
It's so frustrating when I don't do it. So hopefully I click. Hopefully it all clicks.
I think you're speaking to somebody who is very well, like, understands that feeling. Oh, what happened to your video? And you're gone. And you're back.
Somebody's trying to call me, so I just, that was my coach, actually. So I'll show him this later.
But I was saying, like, man, you're speaking to somebody who knows very damn well what it's like to, like, go or like, to lose or to just show a performance. I think, like, that's the thing that's frustrated me the most is a performance the way that I have, like knowing how I am, like in the gym or how I am normally or what I can be, and to not show that is frustrating. It's shit. But yeah, is there somebody
there,
like,
I perform to the, what you said,
sorry, no what go on, if you go out there and you
no,
perform,
no, I was just rambling, what were you saying?
I was gonna ask you because your coach called and stuff, it, like does your coach help you, do you have a person that helps you with a game plan, or do you just whatever comes?
Yeah, we do. And I think with them, what they always reiterate to me is like, be Phil. Like they say it so much. Like, and if people that know me, they know what that means. He's like, Phil, man, once you swag in and dance and lock, he's like, you can't fuck with you. Literally, that's the whole, all he says to me. So my walkout, I posted a video. If you can hear my coach, he's like, right, that's it. Get comfortable right now. That's it, right? All of that. That's what I want. Like, he wants me to dance. He wants me to shimmy. I don't do none of that in there. You know what I do every day? Like, he's like, Phil, that's the best you. That's the you I see beat up everybody. If you go in there and you start talking shit to him, you start Harlem shaking in there, you start hip thrust, they can have nothing. And so he literally just always, not even a game plan. If my coach is, he's always mic'd up. If you listen to him, it's almost like, why isn't this guy giving him advice? Literally, so my contender fight, he goes, Phil, we're here. He goes, we're here now. You got to go, man. You got to go. I'm begging you.
Yeah.
Round over. Next round comes. He's like, nothing technical, because he knows what I can do and he knows I'm better than these guys. He's like, look, man, God knocked me down. He did all this stuff to me. He said nothing about the fight. He goes, Phil, you got to go, man. You got to go now. We got to go now. Now. We got to go now. I get off the stool, beat the shot of the guy in 9 seconds. I could have done that to him in the first second of the fight. Why do I wait for him to beat me up? Like the last fight, in between rounds, he's like, bro, you can't stay on the cage. Let's go. You got to go. Mm-hmm. You got to go. Go now. Go forward. Stop waiting on this guy. Get him the fuck out of here. Go now. Like, he's not saying anything technical to me because he knows a battle with me is just getting out of my own head and fucking going, you know? So, but that's
so when he says that, sorry, when he says to be Phil, to like be yourself and go out and do what you can do at that moment, do you kind of get upset with yourself or do you go like, okay, well, I got swagger. I'm going to play you off or what did your mind go to?
Myself. Phil, be present. Oh, be present right now. Right now. Don't think about right now. Whenever I do that, it always like, oh, it's not that bad. This ain't bad. Then I start seeing like, man, this guy is slow as shit. This guy has no footwork. And then I start talking to myself. And then I start going. Then I'm like, man, why am I letting this guy back me up? He sucks. Like, what am I doing? I just battle myself. And then I start performing. Then I go.
Do you think it at all like surprises you in the sense that you're in a fight and well, obviously there's just so much around it and you expect them maybe to be a little bit better. So you're more hesitant, more guarded. And then when you see the best they can do, you're like.
Yes. And that's my problem. So here's the thing with me. I'm one in a million in this fight game. There's no one in the UFC that's like me. All these guys watch me. They pretend like they don't. I don't give a fuck who they are, what they say about me. I'm 1-1. I'm nobody. I haven't done anything. Cool. You're right. I'm working my way up. But these guys watch me. They watch what I post. They talk like me. They cut their hair like me. Like, I see it. I've been in the fight game for so long. But I just got here. But I've been here a long time. And I lost my train of thought.
Wait, you've been here for a long time. These guys.
No. What are you asking?
Oh no! Not now. You fucked me up.
What are you asking?
When you go out, do you think? I don't know if I'm going back on an extra question, but it was like if you think that the guys are going to be better, and then you go out and see that they're not as good as you think they are.
These guys are so cookie cutter. They're so cliche, right? Every last one of them. And they say the same shit. They all say this. I'm going to beat this guy. I'm this, blah, blah, blah. What I do when I fight guys, I swear, everyone I fight, I look at them like superheroes. Everyone. I'm like, man, this guy, I'm not going to be able to knock him out. He's faster than me. He's stronger than me. Like, he's going to be a step ahead of me. That's how I think, and it keeps me sharp and it keeps me honest.
Yeah.
Instead of all these other guys, what they do is they write me off, like, and they, oh, he's this, I'm gonna knock him out, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that. Off of what premise? Like, just because you say so, you know, like, I'm gonna knock him out, or he sucks, or I'm better than him. Like, I do the opposite. I'm like, no, this guy is good. He's very good. He can't be knocked out. He's never been knocked out. He got knocked out last fight. Oh, he's not going to get knocked out again, and he's so tough. And I give them the utmost respect, but I'm still confident in myself. And it's not enough respect to where that I'm not going to go out there and fight him, but I'm aware of what's in front of me. And I think that works to my benefit, because I never write guys off how everyone always like is so dismissive of other fighters. And I think that's just a terrible way to be, because we all fight, we're all good, you know? So I think my thought process, and a lot of coaches have always tried to be like, no, Phil, you gotta believe, I believe in myself. I do, but I'm no fool either. So fuck what all these other guys say, how they're all like, I'm going to smash this guy. I'm going to knock him out. He ain't shit. He's nothing. Or blah, 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 blah. I always give guys the utmost respect. I always almost put them on a different pedestal. And in that way, it keeps me honest. It keeps me training every fucking day. I'm like, man, this guy's, he's going to be impossible to knock out. He's going to be so fast. Then when I'm in there, they're never that fast. They're never that strong. Mm-hmm. They're never that smart. And it always works in my favor. But I'm more than capable. I'm more than ready to be fighting these guys. And I am top to bottom one of the most skilled guys in my division. I know it. Because tons of these guys, I won't say names, have reached out to me for looks, for training, and I've been accessible for a lot of years, but now I'm here. So they'll see. One fight at a time, I'll get better.
Man, I remember seeing you when I was in Sao Paulo in Jacare's corner. And I remember just sitting back and watching you, just being like, damn, that guy moves good.
Yeah.
That guy is good. But like, not only sort of like an admiration, but also an excitement to see more of. And I don't feel like I get that a lot. I love fighting and I love MMA, but sometimes fighters don't really give me, like, I'm very excited to watch that style or what that person can do or what performance can do. And you have such unique abilities. You have great, great grappling, ridiculous reach.
Gotta use
your coach is like, listen. So, about your grappling, because I know you have phenomenal grappling, and obviously in the gym you train, if you don't get good grappling, it just seems like a bad place to be at. Do you feel like you gravitate towards grappling in an MMA fight? Is that something that you like? Is that something that you wish wasn't so much the case? Would you like to adjust it?
So it's weird for me. It sounds crazy. I am the most comfortable inside of the UFC octagon on my back, inside of my closed guard. And no matter what, that's just where I'm comfortable. That's where it slows down. That's where it all seems normal to me. That's where it all seems like, oh, it's just jiu-jitsu, just training. And that's where I know I'm going to be safe. So, like, it sounds crazy, but you can find me the baddest guy at 170, put him in my closed guard, and I'll be okay. Like, and I use it to slow it down and to make me present. So when I get in grappling exchanges, I just relax. And I'm like, my mind starts to slow down. Whether he's getting the better of me or not, it's the grappling in itself slows down the fighting. And it's not like intense anymore. And it's just like, oh, we're just grappling, you know? And then I get comfortable. Now, when we get back to my feet, I'm cool as a cucumber, you know? And I'm back in the gym and I'm not on edge anymore because I'm relaxed. Yeah. So, I don't know. It just makes me comfortable. It makes me comfortable, makes me relaxed. And then I can go from there. So even when you're seeing exchanges where it doesn't seem like I'm doing much, it's literally mentally calming me. So like, for instance, this guy, he's a Greco guy. He competed in the US Open. He kind of got beat up in the US Open, but he got there. Hats off to him. He was very strong, right? and I couldn't really move him, but it was all static energy. Like he was just breathing really hard and kind of shaking. And like, I can feel his breathing on my neck. And I'm just like, there's no way he can hold this for, you know? So I was just
screaming.
I just relaxed and I was just waiting. And he's just, and I felt him breathing hard and shaking. And I was just literally like nothing. I was just framing and waiting. And I hear my coach, Julian, Phil, you can't say that, you can't say that. I just kept framing and kept framing. And I knew when he came off through the second round, there's no way in hell he would have been full of energy. His arms were dead, his legs were dead. And I was comfortable and I started fighting there.
But so was that a game plan or did you think that?
No, it wasn't a game plan. So, my coach wants me to be long and move, but I always tell him when I grapple, I'm comfortable. And I always say this too. I said, bro, if I get an overhook, I'm going to pull guard. He goes, fuck it, do it. I pull guard in all my fights, all the time. I pull guard in this fight because it helps me be comfortable. Like, so no matter what happens, I know he's not going to mount me. I know he's not going to pass my guard for more than a split second. I know he's not going to take my back. I'm grappling. No matter what, I am grappling, and that in itself relaxes me, and then I can show what I can do.
And that's amazing. I don't think I know of a lot of fighters who can go to a place where they feel where the chaos relaxes. Because in a fight, it's always so chaotic unless you have like a moment where you feel like I've been here so many times that it stops being a UFC fight. And it's just a moment, like a beautiful moment in time that you're used to and you feel comfortable. And yeah, it's hard to find when there's so much at stake.
It's almost impossible to find in there. So like, and then it's like, once I'm there, my guard goes down, my meter goes down, I get that comfort flow state, then I start ripping off, and then it starts to go back anxiety again. Anxiety. Yeah. Then I get another grappling exchange, and I'm like, oh, it goes back down, and I start to do it again. So, but I'm gonna get the hang of it, you know? I'm gonna mentally get the hang of it all, and I'm gonna be able to lock in soon, and I'll show my skill set for sure.
Is there something that you want to show in particular? Like, do you want to show more in grappling? Do you feel like your striking is something that you want to show more of?
Good question. I want to show my grappling more because for a guard like being on his back, my last fight, I think I showed people, like, you don't see guys get swept much, but I want to just take guys down, pass their guards, choke them, and then hear them say, like, who the fuck is this tall, skinny black kid that looks like a basketball player that can grapple like that, you know?
So, yeah.
You got to think, like, for the past 2 years, like, I've been working one sequence with Rodolfo Vieira. One. Literally one sequence. I do it to everyone. Like, world-class guy. It's one thing I do, nothing else. And you're talking to a guy who's never been swept in competition, who's never been submitted in competition, you know, like he got submitted as a professional grappler. He got submitted in his last MMA fight before this, but I mean, it's an MMA fight.
That was just submission by exhaustion.
Yeah, he even told me, he's like, so I didn't want to be in there anymore. Like, I didn't want to get kicked in the face anymore. It's a fight, you know? So,
yeah,
but one of the best grapplers of our modern era, you know, and like I get one-on-one with him. He's one of my closest friends, you know, every single day. You know what I mean? Like I go to seminars with him. There's 200 people there, spending $100 a pop, and I'm training with him every single day. But I've been working this one pass sequence. It's pretty much a half guard, sweep, pass, head and arm choke. Nothing else, like literally nothing else. And it's like clockwork. And people will see, but I just want to show my grappling. You know, I want to show my grappling. My hands will always be there. My reach will always be there. You can't train for that. I just want to show people that I'm skilled, you know, and I'm not just
a
guy out there swinging and banging, you know?
Yeah. So do you sweep from a butterfly half, or do you go from just the half part to a sweep?
It's cool because you're gonna have to drill it 10,000 times for it to be halfway decent anyway. So I could even show people what I'm doing. It doesn't matter that I can drill it. But I start off from the butterfly half usually, and it helps elevate people. And then I'll get to a regular traditional half guard position. But the butterfly half is very efficient for MMA. And I like it because automatically when you're there, they whizzer hard. And, you know, they push your face and they go to punch you, and you can hit them and get to regular half guard. So, yes, butterfly half guard, regular butterfly, but half guard is my forte, big time. And close guard.
So what's your go-to? Do you go more for sweeps when you're in guard and, do you go for submissions when you're in guard and more for sweeps when you're in half guard? Or do you... do you have a system for them?
Yes. And it's usually how they react. So it's, you get the guys that there are select few guys in MMA that understand MMA grappling. There are not many good MMA grapplers in MMA. There's good no-gi guys. There's good jiu-jitsu guys. There's not good MMA grapplers. And my coach, Julian Williams, I'm going to big him up, obviously, is the best MMA grappler in the world. Khabib is good at MMA grappling. Leon Edwards is very good at MMA grappling. His grappling is very underrated, but his MMA grappling is elite level. People don't understand that until they're in there. But it's a combination of what they're going to do. So you get the, if you're on your knees, you're cooked. You're toast. You know what you're doing anyway. So if you're in my guard on your knees, it's a field day anyway. But you'll get the guys that stay on their knees that just try to punch. You get the guys that put their face in your belly button and punch. You get the guys that keep their face low, put their butt in the air and kind of tripod. And then you'll get the select few that wrist control, stand up, hip in, and know what they're doing, you know. But nine out of 10 guys are just gonna keep their head low, punch, stay on their knees, punch, punch, head low, punch. The other 30% of guys are just going to keep their head low, butt in the air and punch. But you'll get the select guys that hipping in, posture up, wrist control, you know, those guys. And okay, you got to put your foot to the hips and get up and know what you're doing. But 9 out of 10 of these motherfuckers are going to be on their knees, head in my belly button, punch it every time.
How do you create space? So the guy's on top and he's just, in reality, they just kind of want to keep you there, right? Because they're like, I'm burning the clock. I'm in a pretty good position. And while being on bottom, you might feel comfortable, but this is what I think, right? Like the clock's kind of going and it's not like grappling where if I go for a lot of submissions, then obviously with new rules, it's different, but how do you create like a space in order for you to go into your attacks if the person doesn't really want to engage in a fight per se, just holding?
So what I do normally, if I'm going to attack half guard, always close guard. Mm-hmm. So close guard first to keep me safe. I'm controlling their head. I have like this portion of my thumb on the top of their head, like top of their head, and I'm pulling it close to me. So now I'll let go and I'll frame across their face. I'll push a tiny bit to give me a little knee shield. They're still going to be pushing down. I always do this. I go 2-on-1 on the far. So whichever knee is knee shield, so whichever one of my knees are across, I reach to their opposite hand, 2-on-1. I'm holding on to this hand, right, with the knee shield. I let go one of my grips and I punch them a little bit. 9 times out of 10, they reach up and they go to punch me with the other arm. I underhook and I start my whole sequence there. You cannot punch from that side. So if someone has a knee, if I'm on top of someone, they have a knee shield here, I cannot punch from the side that's knee shield, you know?
It gives a,
They all do it. 90% of motherfuckers in the UFC do it. It's retarded. So literally all I do is speed up the process, I control the other arm that they're supposed to punch with 2-on-1. And I'll do a little backhand, doesn't even hurt. And they look up and they go to punch you every time. And then you have an underhook and then you can start the sequence. Every single time.
I could try all this shit tomorrow. I'm so excited.
You don't understand, it always works. Because look, what are they going to do? Are they going to just take the punch? If they're smart, what they do is this. They don't punch you back. They take the 2-on-1. They try to walk your hips back, stand up, and punch. They don't. There's a knee shield here. You have 2-on-1 on this hand, and then you take a little shot, and they go like this every time to punch you. Then they give you the underhook every time. Every single time. So literally, I don't even have to switch it up. That's what I just do. I just wait till they do it, and I do it every fucking time. The same thing over and over and over. Nothing different.
Do you feel it's like instinct that they just can't help it? Like, even if you know, do you feel like they'll still do it?
Veronica, you got to think. There's, like I said, I think 90% of the people don't really understand grappling in entirety. And there's like 5% of guys that are really good at grappling. And then what size are you getting matched with one of those guys? You know, probably not. You're probably going to be going against a subpar grappler, a normal, an average purple belt, average blue belt. And he's just going to be doing those tiny mistakes. And mind you, that and that's not going to, like, it's not the end all, but it's just going to immediately give me an underhook, which is going to help me get up and sweep you. And I know, so like, when that happens, I automatically know. Like, when I do that setup, close guard, I pull his head. Knee shield, 2-on-1, a little backhand, very tiny. As soon as he does this, I know mentally I have better grappling than him. I know it. Just at that point, I know I beat him on the ground. And I'm like, then I get comfortable. Anyway, it's a small win. He goes there, I see it underhook, and I start everything. I'm like, I'm already going to be two steps ahead of this guy every single time.
Do you have sequences?
Tons. Tons of sequences, but it's the same ones over and over that I do. So it's like how they react. So it's like, that's one. And I have another one when they posture back, you know, and then there's another one when they won't pull back and punch. You know, I don't want to give up everything, but it's the same thing over and over and over. And they're going to do one out of two things every single time. So you just drill those over and over and over till you're just absolutely fucking sick and tired of drilling, and it's so second nature, it just happens.
Was this something that you thought of, like, I'm in this position and I've noticed that people do one or two things? Or was this something that your coach, like, mentioned to you and you thought, okay, I'm gonna drill? Were they drills they gave you?
So it was my coach showing me 95% of people in the UFC can't grapple. When you're talking to Julian Williams, you're talking Jacare Souza and Rodolfo Vieira, two of the most decorated jiu-jitsu guys, chose him to be their coach because he can grapple. And that says something. One guy's a 5-time world champion. One guy's an 8-time world champion. One guy's a 3-time open weight champion at 185. So he can grapple and he has knowledge, and he does it now. You know what I mean? It's not like a thing of the past. Like, he's grueling guys to the mat now. And if I don't want to say names, you know, but if I would tell you, like, who's been to my gym and who's been flattened out, I've seen it. They've seen it. They felt it, and they know. So, like, the proof's in the pudding. Like, you came to my gym, my coach flattened you out in 2 seconds, and you were immobilized. It works. So for me, it was him. It was Julian Williams. It was watching what he did to people. He's 12-1. He has one loss. He's 11 wins in his last 12 fights. He's like on a 10 fight win streak. He takes people down and just absolutely dominates everyone he fights. But it was me watching him grapple and doing it to the guys he did it to. Then you got guys that come to my gym, like elite level, just grapplers, like not even MMA guys. So not only all the MMA guys that you see on my timeline and in my stories that have been through my gym, that are world-class top 5 champions in the UFC. Like, I don't got to say names, just look at our Instagram. But you got guys that come in because of Jacare and Rodolfo, just in the grappling aspect, you know, like Craig Jones always pops up in our gym. We've had tons and tons of elite level current world champions that come to my gym, and I watch my coach grapple and do well, you know? So we went to São Paulo. We pulled up in Damian Maia's gym, and they knew my coach there. So he's super humble, super soft-spoken. He just says nothing. I'm the one that speaks for him, but he is the reason that I'm here, and he's the reason that my team's grappling pedigree is the way it is.
Oh, that's so nice to hear. And obviously, which means I have to go visit soon.
You have to. You have to. And we're starting to get a good plethora of girls now. We just have like
awesome.
But now we have like a Hannah Goldie. We have let's go. Just fought in Bellator. She fought Cyborg and Amanda Nunes. Both of them. She just won in Bellator. Tough. Yeah, she lost both fights, but she went to decision, both of them, which is pretty amazing to me. We have a bunch of Brazilian people in my gym. I don't know. It's just Brazil 2.0 in my
gym. Yeah, that's why the grappling's so good. For grappling, you know, there's you do gi jiu-jitsu, you do no gi, you do MMA. Do you feel like they kind like one is all of them, or do you feel like you have to specifically spend time and adjust each single one in order depending on where you're competing?
I used to be the guy that was like, oh, you have to be in the gi. I was all gi. But MMA grappling is its own entity. It's a separate thing from everything else. MMA grappling, gi jiu-jitsu, no gi jiu-jitsu, they're all different. They all are very closely correlated, but they're all very different. And what separates us, not the gi jiu-jitsu, not the no gi, we're good. We're not the best in gi. We're not the best in no gi, but we're good. We can compete with anyone. We are the best in MMA grappling. I know it. Point blank, period. And that's why we get the results we get. And people can, you can't argue it, because I'm not a fucking fighter. I'm a basketball player that learned this system from my coach, and I'm beating the shit out of world-class guys. You know, like, I'm not coming from wrestling. I'm not coming from none of this. I'm a tall basketball player from Brooklyn that submerged himself in the system with my coach, and I'm fighting in a world stage, you know? So I know it works. I know what separates us from the bunch. It's the MMA grappling, solely that. Good jiu-jitsu, good no-gi, good gi, for sure. We got fucking over 18 black belts in my gym. Good gi, good no-gi, but the best MMA grappling. And it's so new, MMA grappling. And there's not that many people that are fishing at it yet. And in about 20 years, it's going to be different. But right now, I don't think anyone is better than Julian Williams when it comes to MMA grappling.
So is it because he finds positions in order to be able to strike that you say it's the best in comparison to no-gi?
Yes, and more so to strike. More so not even to strike. It's more so control. So, like, I want to tell you one thing, but I don't want to put it out there because it's like our main thing. Like, I'll
message you. You can like code it. Like, if there's anything that you don't want on it, I can always take it off. There's no issue.
Yeah, I'm not thinking, but it's like, it's literally like the meta. And it's like, the best guys in the world don't even do it. You know, it's like, select few. And my coach does it. Guys in my gym does it. When Adolfo, put it this way, Adolfo Vieira is just learning MMA grappling. You're talking one of the best grapplers to live. He's just learning. And he's getting good at it. 2 years from now, Adolfo is going to be borderline and unfuckable if he grabs you in any capacity, you know, because he still reverts to jiu-jitsu when he grabs people.
Yeah.
But he's learning the control. He's learning and it's getting scary. But we got some guys in here, man, that my boy Bubba Sheffel, he's 5-0 as a pro, 6-0 as an amateur, hasn't lost a round of fighting, is always in my corner. He's going to be in the UFC if we can get any human being to fight him. They said they want one more from him, but no one will fight him. But he's a Division I wrestler from West Virginia. but totally embraced MMA grappling jiu-jitsu for the past 3 years, and good God, he feels like a fucking Tahoe truck on top of you. And he's so good. And I've been in the system longer, you know, but mm-hmm. he has wrestling base, and he has all this stuff to add in what we're doing, and he's fucking phenomenal. Yeah. But they'll see. But it's so simple. There's like, it's like the simplest shit, but it's just like everyone does a certain thing, right? And it's just the standard, mm-hmm. right? So the Olympics 100 years ago, people were doing the fucking high jump like a hurdle. So like the highest high jump was like something like 4 feet, because they were jumping it like a hurdle. There's no rules on how that you have to jump the high jump in the Olympics or the long jump, or there's faults, but you just, if you fucking jump, find another way to do the, yeah, jump however you want. But
boom, bada bing, bada boom.
There we go, we're back.
Wow. Yeah, my bad, you guys, or I don't know who's watching or if
it's
working, but
yeah, no worries, we'll like edit it in, so no worries. All right, I'm almost out of your hair now. Speaking of hair, are you still like doing people's hair?
Yeah, I've been cutting hair.
Well, I saw you had your heart in before the fight. That was sick.
I've been cutting hair since I was 12. So I have a barbershop in my house, and not because I just like cutting hair. I just cut my friends. It's like a man cave type thing. So I cut my friends and cut people that I want to cut. But I actually cut my own hair. So what you saw in my head in the fight, it was something I did in my room in like 10 minutes before we were doing like the whole.
Oh, really? How'd you like, I can't even draw like a straight heart on paper.
No, I just use a mirror, sit on the sink. I've been cutting hair for so long, it's second nature. The craziest thing I've ever done, speaking of it, Jacare versus Derek Brunson in North Carolina. I cut my own hair. I used the iPad, front-facing camera, as a mirror. Fire, legendary status. My coach was like, yo, Phil, that's OD. Literally, the iPad, front-facing camera, like a mirror. And it's not a mirror. Don't get it twisted. It's different. And I used it. iPad to cut the fucking back of my hair. It's crazy.
Is that the most proud haircut you've done? Do you have one that you're like,
by a landslide?
who's been your favorite to cut that?
Good question. I've cut a lot of people. I cut Jacare, Adolfo, I cut Bohashina. I've cut a lot of guys. I don't know. I've cut so many people's hair. I don't know. If I was as good as I was fighting and cutting hair, no, I'd be Francis Ngannou this division. Easy.
Man, you can be a basketball player. You can be a barber. You can be fucking anything.
man of many talents.
So if, like, let's say you would have gone down the basketball route, right? Like you're a basketball player and all of that. What would you think of MMA?
I don't know. I
would as think a fan. Of
broke barbarians. Because I'd be silly rich and I'd be driving like an exotic car. I'd be like, yo, these guys are for what?
If I get bums for fighting for scrap.
That's what I'd be like, for what? That's crazy.
Would you even watch it?
Yeah, probably not, because I know how my mentality is. This humbled me so much, you know? So, like, I would just be like, man, how the fuck those guys getting all sweaty, rolling around with each other for that? Crazy. I make that in 10 minutes. You know, I know how I would thought, you know?
Yeah. So, what? Why didn't you go down the basketball route? Why did you choose?
Not by choice. So, I say this all the time. I say God blesses everyone with a gift. And it's what you do with that gift. It's on you, you know. My gift was basketball. Mm-hmm. I know that. I know I could have played in the NBA. I say it all the time, people feel you're crazy. I know I could because I'm in the UFC and this ain't for me. It's not, you know, like I was so terrible at fighting. I just didn't stop training. I didn't stop showing up. My work ethic is insane. So if I applied myself to my gift, like I do to MMA, not even close, you know, like I was just able to hoop. So I just used that. I didn't do my work. I just knew I was going to play because I was better than him or better than the next man. And at a certain point, you got to do more, you know, if you want more. And I just always did just enough to get by. And then I let it pass me by. And then once it passed me by, that was it. So,
yeah. I see.
But that's why I always talk about it.
Well, I think it's an important part of your life. And it's also an important, like, learning, like, mindset as well. A lot of the times we take things for granted when we're skilled and we need to be like pushed in order to see how strong and how great we truly are.
For sure.
And speaking of your many, many traits, you now have a store, which you are in and blessing us in.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
So Bump Box. Shout out to Bump Box.
Do we have one at the gym, man? Mystery. Well, one of the Raptors, which is the camera guy, like brought in like a big red one. And I'm like, dude, where'd you get that? He's like, I got the PI. So there's like a mix with the UFC. So did that come about after the UFC?
Before. So I've been rocking with Bump Box. Bump Box came about in 2016. The founder is Rob Owens. That's his name. The CFO is Glenn Takeda. So I found the product when it came about and I purchased it way back in 2016. I was rocking with it everywhere with my boombox just because I loved it. Yeah. And his brand started doing this straight up.
Oh, that's crazy. And
I was a liaison on the East Coast pretty much. Everywhere I went, people associated me with that boom box. No one knew what it was, but everyone wanted one. And verbatim, I said, Rob, if you can give me a discount code so I could feel cool, I would love it. Didn't know him. I was 1-2 as a pro. He gave me a discount code and people started buying bump boxes with code Philly Fresh. Fast forward a couple months, he said, hey, Phil, what's your Cash App? I'm like, Cash App. Send me a nice little check. He said, hey, man, last month you sold X amount of units. I appreciate you. I was like, what the hell? I wasn't expecting nothing.
Yeah.
So next thing you know, we're rocking and rolling. Dana White gets his hands on one. Joe Rogan gets his hands on one. The UFC is starting to see it. Next thing you know, Rob ends up sitting down with Dana and does a deal with the UFC. At this point, I was getting a little worried. I'm like, man, this is passing me by. Like, I'm the one that got it here. I wasn't in the UFC by a landslide, but once again, these UFC fighters, these fighters that watch my page, has been watching my page, has been watching how I talk, how I dress. They've been seeing my shit. And I knew it was because of me that it got there, even though I wasn't there yet, nowhere near. And I was just like, man, this shit's passed me by. Fast forward, I get on the Contender, Bump Box is doing this. I get in the UFC now. Bump Box is way up there now. Sponsored by the UFC. Boom, 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 boom. One of the sponsors of the UFC. I reach out to the owner. I say, hey, man, I want to sit with you. I have a business proposal for you. I feel like I'm an asset to you, man, and I want to be a part of the team. You know, like I don't want boom boxes anymore. I want to be a part of the team. So I reached out with my manager, and he helped me come up with a good business plan. I flew out to Houston for the grand opening to my boy Trey's store, Trey the Truth. And I own the first store on the East Coast, you know, and we're popping up a lot more. So there's 6 locations, one on the in East Coast. The next closest store to me is Houston, the other 4 in LA. And where I got the East Coast, you know, Philly Fresh. So it was cool to know after talking to Rob, he goes, no, you're the reason that we got to the UFC. So everything that was in my head, he just confirmed. So just like I said, just me keeping my head down, staying humble, grinding, and it turned into something amazing, you know? So like now I'm a business owner, like legit, you know, like product of days, you know, I got in the most premier mall in Orlando, Florida. So it's unreal. But 6 years in the making, I've been rocking with these guys, you know? So I'm blessed.
That's vision as well. Like seeing it before it was signed with the UFC and to know that you're part of the reason why. That's incredible.
I knew I was, right? But
that's incredible. Well,
imagine how crazy I sounded to people. I'm like, I'm not in the UFC. And I'm like, I knew I'm the reason Bump Box was in the UFC, you know? And I was like, man, sure, bro. You know? And I'm like, it was frustrating. And then it got to the point, it's like, okay, cool. I'm the only UFC fighter with a Bump Box store. And if there wants to be others, you're gonna have to go through Philly Fresh. You know what I mean? Like, so you're gonna have to collab with Phil. Especially if you're anywhere near me on the East Coast. So good luck. You know, there's a small knit team and a huge company and we all take care of each other. We all scratch each other's back. So and we're growing. So I'm blessed. I'm blessed for sure.
That's what was the first one that you bought? Like what color was it?
I bought the biggest one. I bought the red Uprock. So that's the biggest 1,000 watts of power. It's in the corner over there. I bought the biggest one and that's how I started. And then now I have pretty much every model and about $130,000 worth of product back there.
Whoa, yeah. That is sick. And I've seen pictures of the store too. It looks so awesome. Like the lights and everything. You just look like you just want to be there. It looks like a lot of fun, man.
So literally that was the plan for my store. So I just wanted it to be a vibe. So shout out to my boy Trey the Truth. I went to his grand opening and I saw his store, so I got to see the blueprint of what I wanted and what I didn't want, you know. So his store is cool, but his store is his store, you know. And I knew there were certain things I did want, I didn't, and I just kind of took his model and ran with it. And there's the feng shui in my store is just when you come in, you just want to lay down. You don't want to leave. You know, even if you don't buy that, like, I got a VIP area in there. It's like, let me show you actually. I got
a little. So yeah, let me give you guys a little tour real quick.
Yeah, give me a tour, man.
Of my store. You're the first person minus my manager that's been back here. But my stock is down. It's usually up here and then up there. But we're kind of down. That's a good thing.
Oh, look at those colors.
So it's Bump Box Orlando. This is the front. All granite right there.
Oh, that's beautiful, quartz, man.
Excuse me, quartz. They call this a waterfall. Waterfall edge, clean. Look at the floor.
Clean. Oh, look at that.
So right here, this is the wall of boom. This is, you guys follow us at Bump Box Orlando. So this is a VIP area. Pete, you can turn it down a tiny, tiny bit. So this is the VIP area when people buy, they come in, there's like a good photo cameo in there, they can take a pic.
So do you have to get a membership to be in the VIP area?
No, you just gotta buy a boombox. So this is where you try all the product before you purchase it. This is the storefront inside the mall, right in the middle. Down here, boom. Oh,
that's awesome.
Boombox.
Colors, everything is so beautiful, man.
My business partner, my manager here, Pete Zachary. What's up, y'all? So you see, that's the flare six. Boom. The freestyle, wow. Flare eight. This is the one I was telling you about, the Uprock. It's your boy.
That's the first one you got. Oh, look at that. And it matches with the store.
Right. And I got a bump box basketball court.
Oh, fuck. That is so cool. That is so cool.
Yeah, that's
so awesome. did you think of the whole design and stuff for the store?
Yes. So the design was me, and my business partner is actually a general contractor. He's a custom home builder here in Florida. And he literally, if you can envision it, he will fucking make it better than in your head. So I gave him an idea, and the only thing that didn't come out the way I wanted to was the hoop, because the space allotted, I couldn't have the actual big NBA fiberglass backboard I wanted. But yeah. But other than that, he made everything in my head come to fruition.
That's amazing. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
Everything just kind of seems it's been years and years coming, and years of hard work, and it just seems like it's just all coming up, but it's been years of you putting in hard work, and I'm so happy it's starting. Like, you know, have your own store, you knocked this dude out. Sorry for the
news. It's literally the craziest month of my life. So you're talking, my birthday is July 18th, right? So my grand opening was July 17th, and that's my birthday pretty much.
Yeah.
And then I had my fight in the same month. So all of this was the opening for the store, fight in the same month, biggest month of my life. And I think I had a home run. So I'm pumped.
When are you looking to get back in there? When are you looking to fight again?
My manager was saying Sean wanted me to fight in Madison Square. I'm from Brooklyn. So I guess they were trying to get me on that New York card, which would be awesome. Pack that out. So we'll see. You know how that goes. The second you sign to fight someone, it's like anxiety. So
yeah,
I'm trying to chill for 1 month and not have to worry about a name, anybody, and just mentally have clarity for a month. And then we can start picking up and checking out my health and getting back to training full throttle. And they can give me some names and we can get on that card November. So November, hopefully 3 in a year and I'll be good.
And that would be after your September competition, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Sick.
The grappling is cool. That's nothing. I grapple all day, but the MMA is the anxiety, you know, is the nerve wracking stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's like I just find it like you can go to a grappling competition and the whole mentality is different. Like win or lose, nobody's really. It's just like, yeah, it's a game, sort of. And then like a fight, I just feel like a win or a loss means so much more than in these competitions. It's just like, yeah, you beat me today by an advantage, by a point, by the fact that maybe it was a draw because, you know, there was no submission. I played on the back. Maybe you were stalling. You know, it's just there isn't that much craziness that comes with a fight in grappling. Yeah,
no, for damn sure. So I would not be signing up for anxiety if it was, you know, but yeah. I know this is kind of chill. It gives you a little edge, a little competitor's edge, and a little bit of, you know, but not the same. This fight, I had the most anxiety I've ever had going into a fight ever, and everyone's like, man, Phil, you handle it so well. Cause I'm always laughing and dancing, but I had the most anxiety I've ever had. But if you're scared, do it scared, you know? So go out there and do the damn thing. So I was nervous, anxiety, sickening anxiety. Like my stomach was like, I couldn't sleep. It was bad, you know? But I went out there and just did what I had to do anyway. So it's a part of it.
Why do you think you had so much anxiety on this fight?
I don't know. You know, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'm human. You know, he was undefeated. You know, he never lost. He never lost an amateur. Yeah. He never lost as a pro. He finished everyone as an amateur. He finished everyone as a pro. It's a big deal. You know, the Kashi brothers, they knock everyone out. Boom, 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 boom. They try to, but that's what it's supposed to do to build up these fights, you know, the batter these guys' backs And they so it did a good job, you know, because I was nervous. So, but hey, on upwards and onwards.
But then you just be Phil and you knock him out.
Exactly.
You just be Phil. When you have that skill, man, it doesn't matter who they put in front of you. And I'm 100% sure that's your case.
Oh yeah. I know.
I can't wait for you to like truly fucking just get it out.
I can't either. Trust me. It's gonna be a game changer. So yeah, are you still overseas?
Well, I'm in the UK now.
Okay.
I don't know. Every time we speak, I feel like I'm in a different place. Except yeah, for this past since Corona, I've been pretty stationed.
you like it out there in the UK? It's good.
Yeah, man, it's good. It's nice. The weather's not too great, but.
Yeah, I heard it just like rains every day, like overcast.
Yeah, it rains. Well, this past, I guess, month has been nice weather. And I got coronavirus. So nice weather followed by me just being in bed. Mm. So like the house was really hot. And yeah, it just made everything worse.
Jeez.
But it's nice though. I do like it. I feel like I have found a home, which
there you go.
I've been searching for a long time.
A nomad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love my time doing that. And I feel obviously like I'll continue because there's so much things that I want to learn from different places, but I need to have like a foundation in order to, like you said, like get those 10,000 reps in, like, cool, you learn it. And I can tell you the technique and I can tell you all of this, but until you do them, like till it's in the back of your hand, it's not going to fully come out how it's supposed to. And it's not going to really show. So I feel like here, I'm going to be able to do that, which I'm very happy about.
Yeah, no, you need a home base for sure, you know, for sure.
Plus, like a group of people and you just like harass every day. Yeah. Just like have to put up with me. Well, man, I'm gonna let you get back to your store. Thank you so much for speaking to me. And I'm like, hey, thanks to a lot of people.
I ain't shit. You know, I ain't nobody. I'm just trying to be better than I was yesterday, you know?
Man, bullshit. You know how many fighters and how many, like, 1-0 people just rooting for you, messaged you, like, were all over your Instagram? Like, I don't know, like, you know, you say, like, you do stuff and you know people, like, are copying you and doing your shit, but they won't give you the credit. Just because they don't give you the credit doesn't mean it's not, you do and who you are, man. You're a phenomenal fighter, phenomenal athlete, just, and now, like, businessman, you see vision, so many things you do. It's amazing. It's been true
appreciate
pleasure
that.
To speak with you, man.
I really appreciate you guys' time.
And hopefully we'll like meet up and train again soon.
We'll train
soon.
For sure.
And if you ever want to come to like the UK and, you know, see the rain and stuff.
See the overcast.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You're always welcome.
Copy. Hey, it was an absolute pleasure. Hit me up whenever. You know I'm here.
All right. Have a good day, man. Thank you. Bye-bye.